Hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by Amazon.com. Click the banners on our Podbean page and it will direct you to the site. You can do all of your shopping there. A little bit of a percentage will come back to us and it'll help us out. And also check out www.lousyweathermedia.com. Now enjoy the show.
Would you like to read a book? No, I don't.
I can't read. Welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
I'm Tony.
We have a special guest.
Willis Gordon.
All right, yeah, we just lost like a solid 15 minutes. But, all right, so we got some news. Did you guys see the new Joker costume?
Yeah, sure did.
When did you... You said, if someone was choking Jerry Seinfeld to death, that's what you sound like right now.
Oh, yeah, my God. All right.
What's the deal with this lack of oxygen?
Joker.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, the Joker, it was, but I guess they came out and said it was for the 75th anniversary,
right,
and not
the,
for
yeah.
the film. I really think, like, for lack of better control, that was damage control.
Yeah.
Lack of better words, because he had damage printed on his fucking forehead.
That was, I thought it was deranged, and someone was like, no, it's damage. I was like, that is so dumb.
Yeah, it's like, yep. Oh, hey, in boxing, you can telegraph a punch, but you really don't need to telegraph a personality with a tattoo, which I feel like most tattoos, at least people who are like, oh, I'm just going to get a tattoo, instead of people who are like, I'm going to put art on my body. Most people are like, oh, I'm going to go get a tattoo, and it's just like, here's who I am on my shoulder.
Yeah. The ha-ha-has, I was like, wow, it's really on point.
That's a lot.
They're not bearing the lead. I get it.
First of all, do they live in a world where there are Batman comics? Where he was just like, Alan Moore's a pretty fucking cool guy. I think I'm going to take this and write it down.
Oh, fuck, yeah, he looked horrible.
Yeah, I'm happy that, like, they showed us an image of him. He looks like a doll. Did you see that image? It was like, it was a camera, like someone took a photo of a monitor of him being filmed.
Okay, from like a
and he's got like like just red lips. I don't think he has like the, like, you know, the
scars
or anything like that. It seems like he's gonna be more like comic book Joker-y than
he's like the hair is bright.
Insane.
I mean,
they'll fucking saturate the fuck out of that. It's DC. They're like, nothing can have color.
Yeah, you'll have to kind of get away from the last guy to do it really, really well. You know what I mean? You can't...
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, is that if you ever hear, you know, it's either you have to stick with that forever, because Batman has to be like Christian Bale from here on out.
You think?
Period.
Really?
It has to be. He set the bar right there. Did you saw the trailer for Batman vs. Superman?
Voice modulator. Loved it.
Exactly. Now, he wasn't going to do the thing Christian Bale did with the growling and everything that, but the voice has to be in that same tenor.
Okay.
Because Kevin Conroy's voice is only going to work in the cartoon from now on.
Right.
Because now you see things. Batman can't be out in the daylight. He's got to be dark. He's got to be brooding. There's got to be a lot of rain. There's got to be a lot of, like, wet asphalt.
You know, crow.
You know, so it's like, I'm Batman. That's got to be the whole thing forever now.
Yeah.
So it's because Bob Dylan started playing All Along the Watchtower like Hendrix, because Hendrix just said, this is my song now. Like, he just took it and was like, this is my song now, and this is how it goes. And Hendrix has played it in that style ever since.
Huh.
Or Dylan has played it in that style ever since. But certain people, you come up to a certain thing and you say, okay, this is how it was done. It was done so well that I can't even touch it anymore. We can't even approach trying to do that anymore.
In a different way.
So now we have to come at it from a different angle and see what we can do, because you don't want to be looked at as an imitator.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, is there ever going to be... Okay, you have Christian Slater, and he fizzled out, but there's never another Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
You can't. Nobody can approach it like he does. Nobody can approach the craft like he does.
Where does this Joker land in the timeline?
I have no idea. That's another thing with DC. Their whole thing's, like, fucked, because, like, Batman's old now. You know, I mean, like, he's an older Batman. Superman. Like, it seems like Batman's existed in their universe.
Wait, Batman's old in...
Batman v. Superman.
Batman v. Superman.
He's supposed to be, like, 40s, like, late 40s, I think.
But then...
So he came back after Dark Knight Rises.
I don't know if that's in continuity. I think that they're going to completely... Like, I have no idea, because Man of Steel came out in that type of universe.
Because couldn't Suicide Squad just exist right after Bane? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would think that, but...
And then he would have just a different version of the Joker breaking out of Arkham.
I would say, how do you go from there? Like, oh, we know he had scars, now he doesn't, but how do you explain that away and shit?
Or you explain... Because he didn't meet Joker till... that movie where he had the scars.
And see,
so you can't take him to an origin, a young version of Joker, and they have a past.
Because he did lie about how he got his scars, because it was a different story every time.
Right.
I mean, you have to have none now, unless he says, you know, That was part of my gimmick.
And that's the continuity. That was the continuity thing that that got lost that I was talking about with DC. Is that like, well, how does this fit in with this and this? So that's why Marvel has a storyboard. Like, this is all happening, and you can have these characters do this, but like, that's giving the creative.
Oh, yeah,
that's the only creative lenience they give the creators. But like, I feel like DC's more like, oh, you got a good script. All right, you're a good director. Film it. You know? And then they're like, okay, and then like, how are we going to make this work? Ah, we'll figure it out in post. Like, it seems like that.
Wow. That's a weird one because they have so much coming. They have stuff coming out that needs to be at least timelined, even if the timelines skew.
It's
a
also
bit.
Weird that like fucking Flash exists on the TV, and they're like, that's not going to be the Flash in the movie. We're going to get another dude to play Flash in the movie.
See, I don't know.
Isn't that fucking weird? There's going to be another Oliver Queen.
I don't know these
Queen.
Things. That's weird.
Yeah, there's going to be another Oliver Queen. Like, those don't exist in our movie continuity. And then, like, how long do you go with the movie continuity?
Those are the most successful things that they have. They need to bring them in.
That Oliver
fold.
Queen looks... That agree. Is Arrow. There's no one else that thinks someone else is Arrow.
And a really cool thing about Daredevil is Charlie Cox is signed into Marvel. He exists in that universe because they talk about the incident, meaning
The
New
first
York.
Episode, yeah. I think that's what they were talking about with Hell's Kitchen, where he's looking at the apartment. Because I only saw the first episode. The incident is like, that's what we're calling it, stuff raining death from the sky.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so, okay.
Because they said alien invasion, they're like, that doesn't really work with this, because it's really gritty, like the show. Yeah. It's very, like, real. It's more realistic than the Marvel movies of, like, fucking, there's aliens and shit.
And I love, like, the street tone.
The street level hero that he is. Yeah, completely awesome. But yeah, that he can be in the Marvel movies, though. And he plays a huge role in Civil War, so I don't know if they're going to have him in that. Or what? It'd be cool to see him in a cameo. Like, oh, hey, get Matt Murdock on the case. Like, like someone, has like a lawyer that they need.
Yeah,
that's fun. Fucking like say Foggy or some shit. I'd be like, Marvel loves doing that. They love winking. All right, let's hit genre 5.
All right.
Slasher movies.
Halloween.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Fucking classic.
Original.
Fucking awesome. Yes, original. All the ones that I'm naming are originals because a lot of them have remakes.
Yeah.
But all of mine are original. Scream, the first one. Fucking hilarious.
Is there a remake of Scream now?
No, but there's just a lot of
them. Yeah, there's like five or something.
There will be.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you they'll reboot that shit.
But why?
Because boobs change every 20 years.
Yeah. True. You get that fresh pair.
But what I'm saying though is
half as good as the other pair.
What made that movie so awesome was that fucking reveal at the end of like, holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
now
I love
it's
ruined.
Yeah. I know. Well, not for like my niece who's 14, who's probably never seen Scream.
Right.
But
they've seen Scary Movie.
And not only that, or go flash forward 20 years from now and they don't haven't made a new Scream. They remake it. The internet exists. People are going to be like, oh, yeah, this movie existed. They're like, oh, check that out. Ruined it already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scream did work well because you were so blown away by the idea of two guys killing their friends, pretty much.
Right, yeah.
Right in that proximity.
Like, the Mad Max makes sense because you have a lot more shit that we can blow up now. Like, we have a lot more tools to make it look cool. So that's what a good way
and George
to go.
Miller's there working it with his bare hands.
Yeah.
And
it looks so practical, that movie.
It's so practical in every way.
Yeah.
However, as far as, we got technology and we got better stuff to do stuff now, I will paralyze Chris Pratt if I have to, if it means the Indiana Jones movies don't get remade. I'll do it. I'm sorry. I'll do it. I said it on the air.
You're
going
right to go here.
I'll do it.
Get remade?
If they say they're going to remake them and he shows up to set, I'll walk up to him and I'll tell him not to do it.
Just don't.
Don't
just
do don't. It. Don't do
oh,
it. I'll
shit.
Hurt you.
I read a...
You don't
I,
need to be indie.
On Batman v Superman, they said that they have a flashback of Robin dying. Like, getting beaten to death by Joker. Jason Todd, I think that was the one that died.
The second Robin, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that insane? Sorry to get off point, but...
No, that sounds...
Yeah.
I mean,
I meant to mention that before.
Yeah, but with I was going to make a Batman reference at the same time. because, if Pratt does do that, I'll just keep discouraging him from doing it. And he's like, no, they're paying me a bunch of money and I really want to be Indiana Jones. And I'd say,
Willis, please.
I was wondering what will break first, your spirit or your body?
Snap. Right over the knee.
Snap his back.
And then a pack of raptors come out and attack you.
Yes.
Get them, boys.
I'll be like, that's fine. My work here is done.
I saw something posted. It was the dumbest shit. It was like, original T-Rex is coming back.
Recast,
I was like, what the fuck? What do you mean?
Yeah, break out that floppy disk full of data.
Hey, man, he's been doing straight to VHS movies.
Ever since I was like, I'm so glad he's getting work, honestly. It's a hard, tough area. What else is he going to be in?
Yeah, I saw him on Two Broke Girls in a cameo.
Audition for Godzilla, didn't make it. They said, not what we're looking
for. He played in for the horse in that show.
Yeah.
He tried to get Seabiscuit, they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead with your genre 5.
Oh my gosh. All right, so Behind the Mask.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet mockumentary. Well, no, yeah. sweet mockumentary.
It's not like a mocking funny.
A serial killer documentary. Yeah. Him walking around a camera crew murdering people. Mm-hmm. Hilarious, but really a cool in-depth to the brain of a serial killer.
Yeah.
I really want that to be like post ESPN interviews, like, how do you feel about this kill? Well, you know, it was a little sloppy.
I thank God.
Yeah, I thank God first and foremost for doing this. Like, thank my mama. You know, let's thank my mama for dressing me up like a girl until I was 19 and breastfeeding me until I was 7. You know, I also want to say, you know, I'm gonna get to tomorrow. You know, I could have killed better. I'm gonna kill better tomorrow. I'll get to tomorrow. All right.
Thank you for coming out, Leslie. Thank you.
Just like they're all snapping photos and shit. God bless. It's in a locker room for some reason. What else you got?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
In the original. Yes. That's on mine as well.
Terrific. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That dude in the wheelchair, I'm like, so man, fucked. Through the woods?
Yeah.
bad choice, man.
So white women running upstairs. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Door closing. Oh.
Yeah. They put that in the new one.
I put the new one on there too.
Jessica Biel is in the new one.
Yeah. Yes. I like the new one. Me and him, I think me and
Arlie Army plays plays the police chief.
2003, so it was 30 years after.
It's not bad.
No, and that chick pulling really the gun isn't. Out of her vagina and then shooting herself in the face.
And then it goes through the bullet hole.
Oh, yeah, that camera shot. The smoking mouth. I was like, wow, this is deranged.
Yes.
But yeah, and the dude running through the fucking field and getting his leg chopped off. That was most of it. Like, in the white sheets, that shot is beautiful. Yeah.
Him ripping through him.
Yeah, and then just
and
like,
I love the original when he chings the chainsaw off the pickup truck and spins in the like failing light. Looks
who was that guy?
So
who
iconic.
Leatherface?
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
Okay.
Yeah, the original.
He just lumbered around. Yeah. Like, he was so
like
scary.
Really big padded shoulders and just crunching over to one side.
He feels like Vincent D'Onofrio. Like, I feel like in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Like, just kinda,
you're going to... Oh, man, you haven't seen Daredevil.
You're going to shit your fucking pants when you see him play with Kingpin.
Okay,
it's
he's Kingpin? That's
fantastic
cool.
It's Kingpin.
Insane. Like, the origins that they go for in it are incredible. Like, cool. it's so good. Hold on a second. Hitchhiker. Leatherface. Gunnar Hansen,
what a name.
The old Gunnar Hansen.
The fourth and unknown Hansen brother.
That's where he came up.
That's amazing.
Moving back to Hollywood.
Yeah. He's in a bunch of chainsaw movies.
Yeah. Chop was actually the name of his
team. Chop. That's awesome.
It's getting real shitty around here. Friday the 13th.
The original.
Yeah.
I would say,
they're all original, duh.
I mean, yeah, I mean...
Stop saying that.
Two is, I guess, more of the Jason.
Well, I think the first one's great because it's
the first one is more of a slasher.
Yeah, the first movie.
Who's the killer in Friday the 13th?
Yeah. His mom?
Yeah, Jason? Yeah.
The first...
No, it's his mom, you stupid bitch.
I love... Just the reason why it's on my list is for the one scene at the end after it's all over and that big-headed little freak jumps out of the water and snaps out of the boat. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, that shit was insane.
That's my list.
All right, cool.
It's a fun one. Yeah.
What do you got?
We overlap a little bit. However, I'm going to put one on. Psycho is on mine.
Right on.
Obviously, the original and not the Vince Vaughn remake, which is shot-for-shot remake,
yes.
Just with shittier
Gus
actors.
Van Sant, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Psycho.
You see Anne Heche's butthole in that movie.
Yeah.
She like bends over the shower all weird and you literally see her asshole. It's the only asshole
he's brought. He's brought this up before when we talked
about
Psycho.
That's actually called Ellen Cam.
That's where Ellen was like, I gotta give her a call.
Yeah. That is a well-oiled butthole.
I gotta call.
Do you bleach?
Yeah, there's that. There's obviously Friday the 13th for the reasons that I said. Halloween, the granddaddy of all slasher flicks for me. I really love that movie. The music was incredible. The fact that it was all DIY. I love Donald Pleasance. I really do. I love The Great Escape. It's one of my favorite movies, and he's in it, and I just love him to death. And the fact that it's not some monster coming out of nowhere. It's a lot of horror films are this mystical, you know, otherworldly force.
Yeah, the devil rejected him and here he comes.
But with this, it's just, I was a social worker. There's this child who does not belong on the outside and he's a man now. Listen to me. Just listen to me, please. He needs to be locked up. And nobody listens to this guy. And at the end where they look over and they look for his body and he's just gone. Yeah. Like, I remember being 13 and my heart just leaping into my chest. Just
like that didn't kill him?
Yeah.
That didn't kill him?
I heard that in my throat. Like, oh my God.
I heard that wasn't supposed to be the ending, that they were actually supposed to show his dead body. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a one shot, but like, whoever the production company was like, you can make 9 of these.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Take more money. So yeah. Have him just fuck off at the end and we'll make another one.
Great, great stuff. Because it's just, what can stop him? Another movie who... perhaps not exactly a slasher movie, but I will call it a slasher movie, and it's my number one pick. All these other ones kind of can go in any order, yep. But it's my number one pick. American Psycho.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a great one. Christian Bale.
It is so good. It is so good because, one, the book is amazing.
Yeah.
And Bret Easton Ellis just, in 1992, having that big of an indictment of the 80s and rich, white, affluent culture... From a rich white and like not just rich but affluent young white author who was still very, very young, and he just took on his own, basically his own camp, and just said, these guys are twats, all of them. And like all his books are like that. Like Less Than Zero is like, yes, I live this life, but these people are all twats.
So he lives it in mockery of it.
Absolutely. Like. And it's just so good. And I mean, all the stuff from the pathological worry about nonsense, you know, that business card scene. And
that scene's amazing.
Some of the scariest shit in the movie has nothing to do with blood and guts.
Yeah.
It's the tension beforehand. Like when he brings that hooker up and he's like talking to that girl and he's like, you know, and they're talking to his friend and right before the threesome happens and he's just kind of just being weird.
He's like, he's him, but they're not with him.
Right. And I mean, that's amazing. And then Christian Bale running down that hallway with a chainsaw.
Is that the one where he drops it?
Yeah.
That I remember seeing, I was like, fuck off. And I was like, well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He's and, like, kind of moves it around.
Yeah. He's waiting for her and drops it. Ha!
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this is insane. The narcissism, because he describes his daily routine, but it's not a productive daily routine. It's just I have to look like this before I leave the house in order to be. Yeah. A cog in a wheel. And it's just like, it's so good because obviously there was way more cocaine and violence and all the other stuff in the book, but the film was just great because his relationships were so distant, even though they seemed like they should be close. The fact that everybody is so distant that it's a complete case of mistaken identity and nobody fucking notices. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're my friend Paul. And it's just like, this is the wrong guy. And he just runs with it for the whole movie. And then he realizes he thought he was a different guy the whole time. You're just like, what the fuck? What? And then anytime Jared Leto gets hit in the... First of all, I love Jared Leto pre, you know, really big acting fame because he gets
like Panic Room.
He gets the shit kicked out of him in both of the movies that I really love him in.
It's Fight Club?
Fight Club.
Yeah.
And American Psycho, because he just axes him in the face.
Yeah.
It's a
and Panic Room, too. He gets his face burnt and shit.
Yeah.
Panic Room's fantastic.
Yeah. Jared Leto was just like, just beat me up. I'll be in the movie. You can just beat me up. It's fine. You know, he was like that jobber wrestler who always gets beat up by Hulk Hogan. And Roger Bennett's just like, all right, whatever. I'm here catching a paycheck. But so it's American Psycho, Friday the 13th, Halloween, Scream is definitely on there. And did I already say Psycho?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then my last one would have to be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right on.
And that's
beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I got Texas Chainsaw, Halloween. My difference ones are Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ooh, yeah, Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if that was on a list of mine before, but fuck it.
House of Wax. We've done horror. Yeah.
Remember House of Wax? The 2005 one. I'm not. I know there's an original. I haven't seen
it. He's like, oh, wait, you guys.
Yeah, before you get all pumped.
Hold on, Paris Hilton one.
Yeah. Was she in that? Yeah. But it's still good, dude.
She got killed. That's why it was so great.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I remember. I think me and you saw that in theaters as well.
No, I wouldn't have seen that. I wouldn't have seen that. Sorry.
I think we did.
Saw that.
Pretty sure.
An honorable mention, the first Saw.
We just did an in-depth on that. And
Tessa Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That fucking great slasher movie.
Holds up, too.
He doesn't really slash.
No, but I think...
The macabre part of him.
One of the greatest parts of that is really, it's a tribute to the director. Because just like when that thing pops out of John Hurt's chest in Alien and nobody in the crew knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
The crew knew, but the cast didn't know.
Gotcha.
That dude who was laying in the corner and Saw had been laying there motionless for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
As those guys got up and took coffee breaks and did stuff like that and came back down. And when he moved, that was the first time he moved the entire day, and they thought it was a dummy.
Wow, that's awesome.
So when he moves and like Cary Elwes and the other guy freak out, that's a real reaction.
Yeah. And that's that's the guy, that is the actor that plays John through all the movies. Yeah.
And I just think that's beautiful.
He must have been pumped, and they were like, yeah, we're making more. He's like, finally. Yeah. I won't just be a recorded cassette tape.
Can I move?
Yeah. Do I have to be dead this whole time?
I think it's all he says is game over.
Yeah. No, well, he does all the tape things, too. That's him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, anything he speaks is just, he says game over, turns the light off.
Yeah, and it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre slams the door. And then Candyman was my last one.
Ooh, yeah.
I fucking love Candyman.
The only black slasher.
Yeah. He literally has the tool.
Takes place in Caprini Green, that like that housing development or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the whole movie's it holds up really well.
His jacket is so awesome. And that, I remember loving his jacket when I first saw that film.
The score was by Philip Glass and probably one of my favorite horror. Like it's up there with like Halloween, like the melody of it.
That's
stuff.
Amazing.
All right. Let's hop into weekly recommendations and rejections. What do you got for me, Tone?
Jupiter Ascending.
I feel like this is going to be a rejection.
It descended my belief that the Wachowskis can make a film to a lower point than it already was at.
Damn.
After Cloud Atlas. I love Cloud Atlas, but it was too ambitious.
It was muddy.
Yeah, they tried to build 3 hours, 2.5 hours, when it should have been 10.
They made like $1 billion independent film.
Yeah,
that's honestly.
Yeah.
And it's what's happening to them, because this thing, I think, had like a $250 million budget.
Oh, at least.
I got that Matrix money, boy.
Yeah. Honestly, they're just like, studios are like, well,
the trailer
remember the
alone,
Matrix, guys.
Right. Yeah, the
remember?
Trailer alone like looked like it cost a fortune.
I thought Tokyo was shitting in my eyes. Like, it was very harsh. I was like, I'm going to slow this to 0.5.
That's
0.5
amazing.
Speed. So I can get what the fuck's happening.
Yeah.
To where, honestly, the CG is that grand that if you do slow it, it is incredible. The bullets hit and, like, make, you know what I mean? Like, everything is where it needs to be. It's not a Transformer just making muddled blah, 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 and now I'm built.
Yeah.
Oh, you were a Camaro, now you're a 14-foot robot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where do you hide it all?
I get it. Wow, you just tuck it right in there.
Time Lord technology. It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah.
Precisely. Instead, it is very fucking functional CG, but at the pace of a hummingbird.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You just cannot comprehend the amount
Too
that you're
much.
Trying to watch.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dr. Manhattan loved this movie because he could just slow down his perception of time.
He was having a blast.
Oh, this is great.
I was like, okay, well, it's an interlude of shitty acting and then horrifically, like, brutal neon graphics just machine gunning my face.
That's right on. And it's crazy that Natalie Portman's in there, right?
No, Mila Kunis.
Oh, that's right.
Channing Tatum plays a wolf boy elf man. He's a wolf. No, he's like a his name's like a Lycanian.
Oh, you're like wolf boy elf like,
man.
We're like, fuck this movie.
Honestly, fuck it. I should just call him Gravity Boot because that is his own.
Oh, okay.
It's just so much Gravity Boot with the trails.
Jumps around a bunch
him.
And shit. Yeah.
Oh my god. That. Honestly, if he didn't have the gravity boots, he wouldn't have even got off the plane. I'd probably have just tripped and fell.
Yeah.
Because he uses those to such an extent that they become
just part of it.
I mean, it becomes like without him, he's Tony Stark. Without that,
the rest of the iron.
But yeah, without his Iron Man suit. But Tony Stark has redeemable qualities and knowledge and intelligence and money.
That's the one thing I've always liked about Batman is that, like, oh, take Iron Man out of the suit. What do you have? It's like, okay, you know, you might be a little dangerous because you're really smart. But if you take Batman out of the suit, he will fuck your world
up. He'll still snap you up.
he
broke my sternum in five places.
Yeah.
It was just such a bland.
I saw the ears and I checked out.
I noticed that too. I was like, fuck
also,
this kind of.
Yeah. I like Eddie Redmayne. I love him playing Stephen Hawking in Theory of Everything.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a good fucking actor. He has acting chops. In this movie, I've never seen such a solemn. You see solemn bad guys. Kingpin, he's solemn as fuck, but he is so fucking deep.
Yeah, he's
he has
rich.
such fucking levels. Literally, he's just, it's hard to even explain it. He talks as if he has just got over a cold, but he is shy.
So Capote.
So he's very, go get him.
Oh, right on.
Again, now. I said this the last time I was in the show. Every villain in a big budget movie has to talk like an asshole.
Absolute asshole.
There has to
asshole.
Be some sort of
I will say Spader fucking killed it as Ultron.
Spader's voice is just Spader's voice.
Oh,
but
he's,
still,
he's like, sultry as fuck.
I feel like he just like he nailed it. Like I was he didn't like go with a weird take. He was just like, yeah,
because he's James Spader and he has that voice. I mean, honestly, nobody else has really had.
You'll dig Ultron a lot, Tony.
Oh, I bet. I'm obsessed with James Spader.
James Spader's got a great
secretary
voice.
He could have had me in fucking handcuffs on his desk.
See, what's so crazy about that is that, like, I don't, and that is not a thought that has not crossed through all of our minds. However, but I'm sure it's just James Spader does not even register to me from Secretary to the Blacklist. And it's not like it's been 20 years. Secretary came out in what, like 2002?
Yeah, early 2000s, yeah.
And, like, he looks completely different. It's just, like, chub him up and take away all the hair.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is a completely different man.
About to say Stargate.
Yeah. It's just
Stargate's
like,
my shit.
How the fuck? What happened to
James
Spader?
I think he just stayed on a beach and Brando'd it.
Yeah, probably.
He Brando'd it after he did Boston Legal for five, six seasons.
Right.
Probably made some good syndication money.
Can you imagine Brando in Age of Ultron?
There's no strings on me.
What's he saying?
Get the cotton balls out of your mouth.
Don't listen. I could have been somebody.
Why is Ultron eating spaghetti?
Ultron fell asleep again. Damn it!
You come to me on the day of my vision's wedding.
The day of my vision's wedding.
That's awesome. I watched Atari Game Over.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
fucking awesome documentary. It's on Netflix. That's definitely a recommendation. I also watched Good Luck Chuck somehow.
Okay,
that's a rejection.
Hey, well, I mean, Jessica Alba in 2004. It was kind of hard to turn it down.
I watched it recently though for the first time.
I know, and that was a mistake.
but I was like, oh, right on. I'm about to go to sleep. This will be dog shit. And somehow I just didn't fall asleep, and I was like, this is fucking terrible. Dane Cook, I mean, that's a rough man. That was like right when he was hitting huge, too, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, made a bunch of movies that weren't worth making.
Get all your money, dude. Get all your money.
Yeah, he really did stack up. He was
Kevin
like, cool.
Hart. Kevin Hart's doing the same thing because he knows he's like, I'm not.
On his way out, about to be hated by all.
The world of comedy is so fickle, man. It's so fickle. It's very few people stay on top for a long time.
Or you die early and then you're the legend.
Yeah, and who
but
the
you
fuck...
you can't benefit
yeah,
from
exactly.
at all.
You can't buy a Camaro as a legend. Like, no. So you...
I just use my legend money. I'm not alive.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Because Elvis makes more money than all three of us probably ever will in our lives. Yeah. But he can't spend it.
No.
So fuck it. Like, just, you know... it's like live hard, you know. It's like live fast and then die really fucking old.
Fast and then disappear out so no one can hate you or some shit.
Honestly, unless you get behind the camera and you start producing, you get your money, and then from that you transition into the other side
like
of the camera. Kevin Hart could have a career making comedy the way Judd Apatow does. Like,
right.
Affleck did that too. I mean, like, he was fucking... Everyone shat on his face, and then he did Argo, and they're like, oh, let him back in. Then he's Batman.
Well, I mean...
Come on.
I mean, or bad, dude.
Here's the thing. Ben Affleck is brilliant. Ben Affleck just made mistakes that Matt Damon...
Geely.
Only... Yeah. And, you know, a couple of things. You know, I didn't even like Jersey Girl that much.
I like Jersey Girl.
But...
I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, though.
I love him, too, but that's probably one of the weakest...
He could literally film him taking
that
a shit, and I'd be like, oh,
link,
yeah, I like
that's
it.
The weakest one, I think.
Oh, definitely.
But I think Affleck, I mean, you gotta think, dude. Coming right... He's the Christian Leitner of film. He comes out, he's like, oh, I'm gonna do all this great stuff. His first film was Good Will Hunting, and it won them an Oscar.
Yeah.
It got Robin Williams his first Oscar.
Yeah.
It put them on the fucking map. And then what happened? I mean, everything he did after that was wrong. You know?
It couldn't be that again.
No, exactly. You couldn't do that again. And then where could you go? Because it's not like, oh, I interpreted this script so well. What did he do? Paycheck? Daredevil?
Well, I guess I'm thinking that about the Wachowskis at this point. Matrix,
But Matt Damon found himself
stuck on you,
which was awful. And then he said, he made a misstep, and then he said, okay, I'm going to do this cameo to sing Scotty Doesn't Know. Then I'm going
to
get in the Bourne series.
Say,
as soon as he does that, after the Bourne series, he's in the Ocean series.
Oh, true.
And then he does, you know...
Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah. Does whatever he needs to
the
do.
The same movie four times,
right,
different titles.
Right. So it's just like Matt Damon looking slightly serious and confused, running through a grainy,
no,
slightly
with a fedora.
Greasy. Yeah. So it's but he just, I don't know. I like Matt Damon.
I love Matt Damon.
He's a very smart guy. He's a very talented actor. He's got all the skills. And I mean, fuck. I mean, we talked about Interstellar.
Yeah.
The last.
Oh,
year.
Holy shit! Yeah, he killed on Interstellar.
And he was not ever. He was like Kevin Spacey in Seven. You know, it was like, this isn't advertised, but here he is. Here's the bad guy.
That
you
is
know,
true.
I'm sorry for those of you who are listening to this in 1995, but Kevin Spacey is in Seven.
fuck! Detective!
Yeah. I was just about to put the DVD in. They have the case, like, they're cutting open the label.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just, you know... Ben Affleck, he's a good dude, and then as soon as Gone Baby Gone came out... That was 2008, I think. 2007, 2008. It changed my whole perception of him. Back, I said, "Okay, stay behind the camera, Ben Affleck. Just stay behind the camera, and you can do no wrong."
I want you to see Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah, I'll check
and
it out.
And Mystic River.
Oh, that was excellent.
Yes. Oh yeah,
I have a list of movies that I'm like they're iconic, and I want him to watch.
I always think of A River Runs Through It with
Which
Brad
is
Pitt.
Totally
yeah,
different.
Yeah,
it's him flying.
Great,
fishing.
But yeah,
Mystic River. Eli Wallach is in that movie.
It's yeah, it's like the one blue one with the black.
Yeah,
Eastwood, River White. Yeah.
Tim Robbins.
Clint Eastwood directs. There's Kevin Bacon, Tim Robbins, Lawrence Fishburne, Sean Penn. Eli Wallach.
Emmy Rossum.
Yeah,
yeah, a bunch. Huge names.
Quite the stack.
It's so fucking good.
Oh, they stack it and they run
it's so good, dude.
Like, Clint runs that movie like a fucking well-oiled machine.
And he's run out of gas. I mean, he has.
He's, dude, at that age, yeah.
But here's the thing, dude. I mean,
he
like,
is fried.
He's old, but he probably isn't as damaged
he's,
as like
he's
John
Ron Howard
Ford was.
Right?
Ron Howard isn't as old as Clint Eastwood, I don't think.
No. I don't know.
No, Ron Howard was a kid in the 50s.
And Clint Eastwood
was
playing
was
adults.
Was a grown man on Rawhide when he was on. Yeah. But I'm just like, that's. I mean, John Huston and John Ford were so, like, cancer ridden and fucked up. And they were essentially 99 years old when they were 50.
Yeah.
And they still made amazing movies,
they're
you know,
fried,
right to
yeah.
the end. You know, so I'm like, this was just kind of running out of gas. But, oh God, what was my exception, rejection type things, the weekly thing? Obviously, go see The Avengers.
Yeah, definitely. That's a huge recommendation. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, like, how was it not going to be?
Yeah. The other one, let me think. Movies that I've watched just recently. That were like, oh, that was really good.
Inner monologue.
Yeah, it was. I think I'd have to go with the 30 for 30s. I've been watching a bunch of the 30 for 30s, and not actually. You know what? I'm gonna go with it. I hate Christian Leitner. It was that, and You Don't Know Bo. Between the two, it was the Bo Jackson one.
Love Bo
and the Christian Leitner one, and just it just brings up certain things, and I'll be able to relate it here in a different context. Christian Leitner played for Duke in the 90s.
Okay.
And they ran everything. They were an amazing school. Now, he's this 6'11", really, really handsome white guy who's playing for Duke, which is one of the premier teams in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates Duke, just like they hate the New York Yankees, because they win all the time.
Yeah.
People hate the Patriots. I've never understood why people hate other people for winning.
Yeah. They're jealous and their team doesn't.
I get that, but it's the same thing as like people hating Superman because it's like, oh, he's got too many powers. I'm like, you should want to be that.
He's
like,
so strong
right,
and good.
I'm like, yeah, he's so strong and good and like he's incorruptible and shit, like, why can't he be like Spider-Man and
well,
suck
I guess
at
like
his
people
job.
Like to be surprised, so that's probably
I'd like to really hate myself a little
more. Because when the Yankees win, they're like, well, fucking go figure, it's the goddamn Yankees.
But when they lose, it's like, ha, look, you spent all that money and you still didn't fucking win. So there's an expectation to win, but then when you win, you lose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just an exploration of people hating with no idea why.
Right.
Yeah.
And the problem is, Superman isn't a real guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hate Superman, and it's okay.
He's not going to be this huge.
Christian Leitner is a human being who actually came from middle class, like lower middle class New York.
Yeah. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's playing for a team.
Yeah. And he was a
giving
college,
him an education.
And he was a college student at this time.
Not getting paid.
Kid. Yeah. And people just, fuck you, he's a faggot. And it was the 90s. So people were just yelling at
whatever
him for
they
being
felt,
a faggot back then.
Oh, right on,
and
making
like,
signs
then.
Up for the games.
Homosexual. Like, oh my God, that's fucked up. And so It was just a great look at that. And just see him
as
now,
a man. Yeah,
yeah, see him now as a man and just being like, I don't give a fuck. I was like, I love this dude. Like, I love him. He just does not give a shit. I love it. Like, here's the thing. I love Tom Brady. I love Christian Laettner. I love Kanye West. Here's the thing. They're the best at what they do or did at the time. And they're not going to let you say that they're not. Like, look at the numbers. Just pull the numbers. I'm the best. Like, I'm sorry, but I am. Like, I love Muhammad Ali. I'm the best. There's just, listen, I'm not being cocky. I'm not being arrogant. It's an empirical fact. Like,
did you hear the,
Floyd Mayweather said he was better than Ali?
Yeah, better than Ali. Please. Hear what Tyson said?
Oh, my God.
God, he's like, well, Tyson's smart, but he can't seem smart. On video, it's hard for him to like get points across that are articulate.
Mike Tyson and Keith Richards have a lot in common in the fact that he's like, well, I'm serious, is that there's this image of this kind of non-intellectual, just kind of gargoyle, just sort of kind of doing what they do and being great at it, not thinking that it takes a huge level of intelligence to be that great at something. Yeah. To box truly is it's chess. You've got to know the ring. You've got to know your opponent. You got to get in their heads. You know, but and so they don't seem articulate, and you try and kind of rip them up for how they speak, because Keith might mumble or do whatever, but if you listen to what he says, you're like, oh, that was quite profound. But then you listen to, like, you know, Mike Tyson will say something, and you'll just be like, well, you're right. Because I listened to him on a podcast about boxing where he talked about Ali being the greatest. And he said this great thing about Muhammad Ali. He said, Ali, in his prime, you know, he didn't necessarily have to run up and knock you out, but he would take you into deep water and drown you.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, fuck. I was like, that's such a great description.
That's what the rope-a-dope does is it wears a person.
Yeah, take you out into deep water and drown you. Yeah. And I was like, Floyd Mayweather will never have that. And not only that, but greatness goes outside the ring to being a champion of the people as well.
Yes.
And
he's Ali like, did that. To embrace the people, not to fear them.
Nobody at any point is going to ask Floyd Mayweather to go negotiate a hostage situation in Iraq. No one is that famous. No one is that universally loved right now. No one.
Yeah.
Period. Hmm. Think about somebody right now who's the most famous person you can think of right now off the bat.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
That's a good one.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
But Robert Downey Jr. has no fucking clout in the Middle East.
Kim Kardashian.
Nothing.
Oh, God.
Tom Hanks. I'd trust him.
But
I brought my volleyball.
I'm just right. kidding. And so that's what I'm saying. It's like,
but there's no one really,
who's just globally loved.
There's not even an anchor, like a news anchor that you have that trust for like you used to.
So it's just like the two in the 20th century, the two people are, well, the three most recognizable faces in the world were Muhammad Ali, Jesus Christ, and Mickey Mouse. The three most recognizable faces in the 20th century. All around the world. Like, they just went into caves and like, who's this? Who's this? And then, like, people didn't know who Superman was, and they knew who Muhammad Ali was.
That's insane, because he fought Superman.
Right, exactly. And so, like, so there's a situation where, you know, he's that sort of champion of the people, and he goes out and he's like, you know, he's there.
Yeah.
Way different than the current champ.
So 30 for 30.
He's not even,
is
not
that
even,
on so. Netflix?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. 30 for 30 is
a lot of those. Yeah.
I Hate Christian Laettner is the one that I recommend, but the one about Reggie Miller and Spike Lee is great. Reggie Miller versus the Knicks is great. Bo Jackson is great. There's a lot of really good ones.
Cool. All right. Diving, what's up?
You sorry. I have a few more. I watched all of The Pacific, the HBO series. And that is a fantastic fucking special. Tom Hanks narrates, executive produces. He also executive produced with Steven Spielberg, the Band of Brothers.
Okay.
So Steven Spielberg came back. They also did The Pacific together. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Peleliu, I want to say, is the name of the island.
Right.
No one's heard of it, but thousands of men died on that island on both sides.
Yeah.
Then the government didn't do a fucking thing with that island. Didn't put an airstrip on it, didn't save ammo on it, didn't park a boat next to it.
Nothing.
They just fucking took it and moved on.
Wow. Yep.
Left the bodies and fucking moved on.
It's like hundreds of thousands of men would die in World War One for about 8 yards.
Yeah.
That's
and
insane.
Then they'd play soccer together on No Man's Land on Christmas and then get back to it.
Yep.
Mowing each other down with machine guns and gas.
That's fucked up.
Also, a bit of tidbit, just recently here, I think 2 weeks ago, was the 100th anniversary of chemical weapons.
Oh, yay.
Being used. Chlorine gas, which is really, really harmful if you don't know how to protect against it. But once you do, it's like
I got over it.
Right. Actually, AJ Georgie, a local comic, got poisoned by chlorine gas.
Wow.
On a trip. He was in a bathroom. He was taking a dump in a mall. And, like, somehow there was, like, chlorine gas, like, there, because they were using it to clean or whatever, and it just, like, I guess they didn't realize, like, it was either closed and they didn't lock the door, and, like, he went in there and went to use the bathroom, and he got, like, he had scarring on his lungs now because...
Wow, holy shit.
Because of that. And actually, which I think it's really, the irony of it, the really sweet irony of it is urine neutralizes chlorine gas.
So he had to piss all over himself.
No, no, no. But in World War One,
but he was in a bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was in a bathroom.
Yeah, he's in a bathroom. Yeah, exactly.
The antidote was right there.
Exactly.
You would just water-world it and fucking drank your pee.
Because, right, like, in World War One, guys would urinate on, like, rags and put it over their mouths.
Oh, okay.
And just run through the cloud.
Oh, that sounds fucking terrible.
And sitting there. And also, the first day, it killed a shit ton of people when the Germans deployed it. But... the English, like, a bunch of them figured out, okay, it was, like, within a month they figured out how to fight it. But a lot of guys on the front, like, a lot of dudes died, but a lot of people were just, like, a lot of field commanders just went, just fucking run through the cloud. and everybody went, oh, shit, yeah, that's right. Because, like, once you see a cloud of poison coming, you're, like, run through it. So you spend the... That might seem crazy as to run into the cloud of poison, but... you spend less time in it if you run through it instead of waiting for it to just come on you and just sit.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so it's like,
man, it's a slow moving cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
You could bust through it.
Yeah, why are all those guys just laying there up front? Like, oh,
all right, it just dispersed. Yeah. Let's run through now. Yeah. It's going to be getting wider and wider. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Into Eternity. Incredible fucking documentary about our nuclear waste storage, pretty much mishaps. The fuck ups we are. Thinking, oh, we can totally find a place to store hundreds of thousands of pounds of 500,000 year half-life material.
Yeah.
That's completely poisonous to any organic life on the planet. Mm-hmm. No, we can't. There's easier ways to heat water, be a fucking smart person, and stop making nuclear fucking waste.
Yeah.
There's this place, Olanko, I want to say, in Finland. Mm-hmm. They're building the first permanent solution to nuclear waste.
That's beautiful.
100,000 year half-life on the facility itself, encasing it in, like, boromite clay and, like, 4-inch thick copper tubing for each, like, tube of nuclear waste. Good. And it's this incredibly sort of, like, a humbling documentary that this guy made about the... I mean, the factory...
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
the
good
factory won't be done until 2020, but they've been building it for, like, 10 years.
That's incredible.
Hundreds of feet down.
At least somebody had the foresight to say that, and it's like, why don't we just shoot it into space?
Yeah, and what if it... Well, they make that distinction. They're like, well, what if it, you know, I don't know, explodes like one of the Soyuz rockets would, mm-hmm. or one of the Saturn rockets would, in the middle of our atmosphere, as we're taking up 10,000 pounds of it? Yeah. I don't know. Is that good or bad?
Game over.
Yeah. Do we take it to the bottom of the ocean and not know what it does if there is an eruption and it does hit magma?
Oh, hey, Godzilla seems like a good idea.
Yeah. I was like, I hope we get Godzilla.
Honestly, there's so little we can do. Water diffuses it, but you have to constantly... like, that's why a nuclear power plant depends on its water, because it needs to cool those cells, but that water eventually starts evaporating within seconds if you don't flush it cycle. And that's a huge operation. Incredible documentary. You can watch it on YouTube, Into Eternity. And I also watch Planet Earth. I recommend all three of those things. Yeah, Pacific, Into Eternity, and Planet Earth.
You love your fucking documentaries.
I love natural history. It just enthralls
me. It's fascinating.
There's a deep sea one that I've been watching, and it had, like, those little fucking pods on it and shit, like, that, like, live inside a fish's mouth and take over its brain or something like that.
Were you watching a lot?
It's tongue, that's right. It's crazy.
Oh, okay.
So people were catching this fish, and then they would open its mouth, and there would be this, like, fucking thing, like, what up?
Oh,
it looked like they,
okay. So it's a symbiotic, like, relationship that fish has with that
microbe. Reminiscent of, like, you know, when Will Smith, like, punches that alien in the face, and then they, in Independence Day, then they pop it up, and he's got the little dude inside of him.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Oh, welcome to Earth. I love those relationships where the little guys hang out with the big guy.
Yeah. Men in Black, another one. He had the faceplate and controlled the body. Yeah. That was so fucking cool. All right, anyways.
I'm like, natural history. And you're like, Men in Black, couple of examples. Independence Day.
Well, not I was going with the little things that ate the tongues. That's what I thought of. I thought it was them powering
the
fish.
You want to bust through the test of Tony?
Punisher, 2004. Director, Jonathan Hensley. Budget, $33 million. Domestic gross, $33.8, which I thought was way more than... I thought it was a fucking shit movie.
I want to make a little comment about the director. He wrote Armageddon, Jumanji, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Holy shit. They were like, Punisher's going to make us so much money.
Yeah, he's going to direct it. Wait, he doesn't really know a lot about directing. Let's see what happens.
It made 54.7 according to million, according to the Box Office Mojo. My bad, okay. I was trying to credit
the
source.
How much did it cost?
$33 million.
Okay, right. So it was a profit. Yeah,
definitely.
But here's the thing: Thomas Jane is the Punisher. Period.
Yeah,
that's your Punisher.
Yeah. For everybody else, I mean, like everybody else, it was just kind of like Dolph Lundgren in the '80s, and I was like, ugh.
I have that. I haven't watched the '89 Punisher.
And then there was the guy who did
Warzone.
Warzone's
the shit, though. Warzone is fucking cool, dude.
Not the Punisher to me.
I'll make this note. I remember more about this Punisher than I do Warzone, and I've seen them both.
Yeah.
More iconic, like the Russian, like the scenes in this, I'm like, oh, fuck, right. I remember that
now,
scene.
Wasn't that Kevin Nash, the wrestler?
I have no idea. I'll look it up.
What, the Russian?
Yeah.
No, way bigger.
Who's the guy he fights?
In the first
Punisher.
He fights a Bad Harry or Hard Harry.
There's a massive guy he fights who like throws him through a wall.
That's the Russian.
Sure, the red and white.
I'm pretty sure that was Kevin Nash.
Man, he looks huge then. I'm talking a thick cat. He's like Brock fucking Lesnar.
And short hair, too.
Buzz, yeah, he has the flat top.
But it was 2004, and like Kevin Nash's like heyday was like 99, 2000.
Pulls the knife out of his own.
That fight was fucking bullshit, though, honestly. Because like the
Punisher, he would have died 9 times.
Well, no, and the Punisher, like he's like looking at him like, oh, I didn't see that one. There's a lot of fucking like really
I
dumb,
talk about
cheeky
that,
shit.
About
like,
how everything he builds for himself to utilize gets destroyed or fucking doesn't work in that film, which
and
bums
looks,
me out.
No, but not only that, but the motherfucker looks so like perplexed, like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about when he bust the gun with
there's
the hand
a ton
with
of
the
shit
weight,
where he's just like,
and it's a bent barrel, and he's
like literally just mid fight, and they're like, and they stop hitting each other, and they're both kind of like, oh, isn't this fucked up? Yeah. And they're like, all right, back at it.
Like, but that's how it would be.
He throws him through the wall, and he's like, fuck.
Yeah. That shit pissed me off so much.
Concussion.
Yeah,
it was good though. I can't.
Hilariously, I mean, it's an animated fight too, because there's Italian. Like operatic music playing, they're crushing through other people's apartments,
which is great.
Yeah, I love that. Then the aftermath when they can walk through everyone's apartment and see each other—it's hilarious. Like, I mean, it is a
Rebecca Romijn was in that too.
Yeah,
I love the scene where he's got the guy hanging upside down and he pokes him in the back with a popsicle.
Yeah. And he's you're going to smell burning meat, but you'll feel a cold, like, sizzle.
Now, in all honesty, I would have loved to see him actually fucking blowtorch the dude, because I feel like Punisher would have done that shit.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's also in the Punisher's...
Kevin Nash, you were right.
Yeah.
Fuck!
It was also,
he does not look like Kevin fucking Nash.
That's crazy.
It's also in his regiment, though, to, like, to fuck with your brain so badly that he's just like, I didn't even lay a finger on you, and you told me everything.
Well, and that's the whole thing, is he... He makes that bad guy become worse. Like he's like, I'll let you do the fucking work that kills your spirit.
That was amazing.
Then
that,
I'll take out the trash.
Yeah, I will give you that. I think I like this one more than Warzone. Now revisiting it, I love Warzone, and I shat on this movie before, but revisiting it, I fucking loved it.
I watched it. I'm like, cool.
The kid gives Frank his kid gives him the shirt.
Yeah,
for the Punisher shirt, and it's a symbol to ward off evil spirits. I looked up the origin of the Punisher shirt because I was like, I know, wasn't it? Well, originally the teeth were clips that he would have on his extra clips
That's
of ammo.
Cool.
Yeah, fucking sick.
Yeah.
But it says the skull was there for enemies to shoot at. Like it was like the bat symbol, you know, like don't shoot me in the face, shoot me in this white skull, where he was the most heavily armored, and then. It's also a symbol, universal symbol for war, and in military terms, it means only hatred for enemies. That's pretty sweet.
They
never really gave him like why he donned it. I think someone just drew it and was like, isn't this fucking badass?
Yeah.
I also really love the Sivus Pacem Parabellum. If you want peace, prepare for war.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so tight. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's actually the right Latin.
That'd be funny if it wasn't.
I was actually going to be bummed. I'm like, but no.
Drink water and eat healthy? That's weird. Why is Punisher saying that? The dinner scene I felt was really fucking cool.
That's them all eating.
Yeah.
I also liked, well, I didn't like, I actually kind of got bummed out a bit on the character of Frank Castle when that Dave dude took all those facial piercings, like beat his ass for Frank Castle. Yeah. And he's like, we're family. That's why I did it. And he was like, get him to the hospital. Gotta go.
Well, I mean, he's gonna go fucking be vengeful.
Yeah, he's gotta go punish. Yeah. I understand, but he was also like, was not a bit of remorse, but there was a pile of money.
Right, but there wasn't. I mean, it's the Punisher. There's not going to be a big hug.
And he's also kind of like a drunk loner. He didn't want that connection.
I like that they didn't do that. Like, fucking like, oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Bring it in.
No, but I mean, like, if he was like, he's like, I haven't said thank you in a long time. Something still hard, but at least a little acknowledgement other than get him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Guys, I was just like, damn, he's cold, so hard.
Guy singing in the restaurant was pretty sweet.
Oh my god,
I was like, why the fuck is this dude? Like, I wrote you a song. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh yeah.
And he's like,
bridge fight.
How stupid are you bringing a knife to a gunfight? Boom! I'm like,
Yeah.
Ballistic knife, bitch.
Yeah,
that was cool as
fuck.
He
puts the cigarette in between his pinky and ring finger to open the case.
That's so cool.
I was like, that's fucking cold. I love that. And then he's just like, nice I wrote touch. That for you.
Yeah.
I think his name's like Hard Harry.
Hard Harry, yeah, you're right.
That's a great song, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird, because they're all, I love how they show the like reaction from the other people in the restaurant. They're like, what the fuck?
And that's exactly what would have happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You can sit wherever you want.
I'm just going to play a song. Thank God you guys don't have any background music going.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Why but, the fuck is Fleetwood Mac playing over this guy's like a menacing song?
You can go your own way.
I was thinking Landslide.
Wait, do they know each other?
Yeah.
I wrote that for you. Okay.
All right, we weirdo. We go fight now.
Yeah. I'm drunk and lost.
Did it pass your test of Tony,
yes,
sir?
Yeah. Very cool.
It actually was like a redemption for me. I've held that movie in a lot higher regard than I used to.
Do you guys have any options you want to throw at me for the next one? Because you'll be here.
Well, we still got to do the end up.
I mean,
City
I'm
of
thinking
God.
Like, think about it.
Blade,
and then...
Blade 2, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Reapers.
I have the whole, I'll bring
he
up.
He was like, when he said Blade 2, I was like, why not Blade? And he's like, you know you fucking like that.
I was like, it's not really a test of Tony. Like, he just likes watching movies.
I
he
love
digs.
Blade, yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, we can watch Dune. He's like, shut up. Shut up.
I was like,
love
it's gonna
Dune.
Pass, and you're just gonna make Spice references the
That's
whole fucking...
funny.
Spice Melange's life.
All right, we got an in-depth discussion on City of God, which is on Netflix right now. You can check it out there. And it was my first time viewing it. Really fucking enjoyed
so
it.
So crazy.
Really
I mean, not crazy. It was a small budget movie that was in theaters for a week.
Didn't look small, though, at all.
It blew up. On the back end.
The budget, though, did not look small for it. Like, it looked really well done. They had that blue filter that they, like, shot the whole thing in, which was cool and stuff. But yeah, I thought the camera work was fantastic. It reminded me a lot of Goodfellas. It was kind of like the comeuppance and like a gang and shit.
The camera work actually represents a person in the room.
Yeah.
Which is not handy cam, which is not found footage. It's a unique vision that you're seeing the scene. Sometimes you're behind ahead, then you come forward in the foreground to see the background action.
Yeah. It is such a beautifully shot.
Hey, yeah.
Fucking phenomenal.
So and the storyline's incredible. It was it grabbed me and
it's
like
a
never
saga.
Let go.
It's a saga. It's
2002.
In 2 hours and 24 minutes or some shit. Like, I was like, fuck, this is good.
Fernando Marcellus and Katie Lund co-directed it, and Fernando actually also did City of Men, the follow-up to this. Yeah. I have not seen
it. Wait, this is based on a true story.
Yes.
City of Men obviously hasn't happened.
City of Men, I'm not sure if it's based on more of Rocket's travels.
Of men, my bad.
Wow. That hasn't happened yet. Women are still fertile.
Yeah, I was like, they're still having
women
kids.
Women are fertile.
That's
I
not
know
a,
it.
That's not
and
a
there's
true
no
story.
Such thing as strawberry weed.
No one's listening to Radiohead and jamming in the woods and getting shot for pulling fingers. All right. But I don't know if Rocket's real life story is built into the Children of Jesus, the City of Men, because he got out. He became a photographer.
His
story was in whole in the film City of Men, City of God.
Yeah.
So there's nothing he could give, but I don't know. I feel bad even saying, like, I think he just ran with the success of City of God.
Later on in the decade, I caught a lot of flack for saying in public many times that Slumdog Millionaire was City for God light.
I've never seen Slumdog
the Dubai version. Yeah, it was the Bollywood version
like,
of it.
Oh, hey, it's like, look at these struggling brown people like coming up. And it's just like, no.
They already
like,
made City of God.
Yeah, they made City of God and it wasn't shitty.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's seriously one of the best films.
The actors
I've ever
that seen. They got for the roles so were pumped. Fantastic.
Yeah, I was so pumped that you, when I mentioned that, and you're like, "Oh, I love City of God. Yeah, let's do that." And Punisher, Thomas Jane's my man.
Yeah,
I was like, "Fuck yeah!" At least he's on board with these two.
Yeah,
and yeah, I agree completely. The actors from the progression of kids.
Yeah,
that little boy in the beginning.
Are you talking about
the little dark one at the beginning?
Little Dice.
Oh my god, that shit was so goddamn
little Dice,
funny.
Dude.
And
he
him like
back.
Laugh after he shoots the first person, like that cat. I was like, wow, it's fucked
the
up.
Opening sequence when they're playing football and they're playing soccer out there.
Yeah,
and, like he's kicking the ball. The kid's kicking the ball, and he just the kid just comes up and mean mugs the shit out of him in the beginning. Right then, you just know you're like, that kid's
got heart. Yeah. He's hard.
And not only that, like, he's just trying to run shit from the beginning. Like, that's why it felt like Goodfellas. I was like, oh, it's a gangster movie in fucking this place that I don't know anything about. Where is
Rio? Rio is Rio. Brazil.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I knew it was Brazil. I just didn't know what city that they were.
They call it City of God, but do they ever refer to it as Rio de Janeiro? As the slums of Rio?
I thought the
Rio?
City of God was, like, where they, when they die... Wasn't that what they were referring to? I thought that was at the beginning.
Rio has the massive statue of Christ looking over.
Christ the Redeemer,
yeah. So, I mean...
So, it is referring to that city. Because he says, like,
I mean,
the
City of God
death.
Might be, like, calling it, like, Goodyear Heights for Akron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
okay, I'm thinking that's what it is. It's a
sublet. Like a Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Queens. You're coming into Queens, but you know you're in New York City.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
It's a borough.
Which makes sense.
It's a borough.
Yeah, because they say, one of the five boroughs. Oh, we should watch... Yeah, wish it Gangs of New York made me think
of that. I'm like halfway through it right now. It's a long one.
Bill the fucking Butcher.
It's really good, though. It's really, like, I love it. I just watch it at night every time, and I fucking fall asleep. It sucks, but,
Heartbreaking.
poor Liam Neeson. He had a rough early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Always getting stabbed.
No one was taking anything besides his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he became Taken Man.
Sue George plays Knockout Ned. In City of God. Sue George, I saw him in 2006 at Bonnaroo. Fucking incredible.
Knockout Ned.
That dude is awesome.
Really awesome character.
He's an amazing character. And when I noticed his face, I was like, fuck, I gotta look it up. I'm like, fuck, that's Sue George. He did all the David Bowie covers in Life Aquatic.
Oh, nice.
He does like Rebel,
but
in Portuguese.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that they introduced his character at the end, or at the like in the middle of the movie.
On the bus?
Yeah. And
they induce a ton like that.
But I mean, like,
he's like,
but
his
he was
story's
like a
later.
Very integral character to the storyline and what's happening. Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's based on a true story, so that's probably
why. Well, it's
kind of
showing his memories as he wrote
that's
them.
That's also really cool. He's like, well, before I get into this, I need to tell you this. And before I do that, I have to tell you this. And the narrative. Narrative of it was fucking perfect, and even having to read the entire time,
I was
enthralled.
It was real.
I actually liked having the dialogue not like being overdubbed or anything. Reading it was more engrossing. The meat held on more for me.
Absolutely, you lose a bit when you translate.
Yeah, yes. And not only that, sometimes even when I just like watch movies, like if I have to read, then I'm like locked the fuck in.
The establishing shots and follow ups. Are
the
phenomenal.
Water droplet shot fucking shattered my brain.
The little stuff like that, little dirty pieces of like equipment and machinery in the town, then the cobblestone
and the big
then
like
a sweaty fucking like old woman on the porch. Like
the first time I ever saw this movie, it was on a DVD and it was played through my PlayStation 2 in my basement.
Hell yeah!
A couple of kids came over and they were like huge movie freaks.
Yeah.
And my buddy John, and I'm struggling to remember his last name, but he went to Hoover and he's friends with Sarah Lieber and all these other people that came over. And he's like, oh, you seen this movie City of God? And I was like, no, what is it? And this may be 2007.
Yeah. Okay.
And he says, oh, well, check this movie out. It's one of the best movies ever. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then it turns out it's on like IMDb's top 250, like in the top 5.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And I saw it, and the entire time I was there, I was just going, dear fucking God. And it's like, the story is great. The story is great, and it's one of those movies, that and The Godfather are one of those movies, the first Godfather, and even to an extent the second one, the exact same filter. The whole film, the story is beautiful, But if you just turned off the sound and just looked at it,
yeah,
you'd like, this is one of the best movies I've ever
seen. Yeah, definitely.
The saturated, yeah, the tones are fucking gorgeous.
Like I
said,
I think it's like a blue, like it looks like a blue haze on a, like a
but
lot of things.
Then there's like that warm light that almost makes you sweat watching it when they're playing outside as kids and stuff.
Yeah, the yellows. Like
the trio, like Big Brother.
But when they're in the city, it's that cool, like, you know, but everyone's still sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Rio's, Rio's a hot one.
No, it looked like it.
I love when Ned and Carrot are robbing for the third time. Mm-hmm. He says the third time was the exception. When the third time was when the exception became the rule.
Yeah. And that's a huge player in the game that happens right there, which we won't spoil. I've been trying not to spoil the in-depths because I'm like, I didn't know what the fuck this movie was. I never heard of it.
That line just defining the change in human nature was so gorgeous. And greed corrupts innocence. And my last thought was... that, like, coming from the movie as a whole was that crises precipitate change.
Yes.
And that's what that fucking story involves. Yep. Is
crisis always precipitates change. And that's the thing, is because addiction culture is the same way.
Yeah.
It is, and I use this when I talk about, you know, the Baltimore riots and all the stuff that's going on now. It's an incredible thing because you realize in order for somebody who's a drug addict or an alcoholic to change, they have to become... too uncomfortable to continue in the way of life that they are.
Yep. Yes.
Same thing here is that the situation of race relations and the police and everything like that, things only will change when it gets too uncomfortable to continue as you are.
Yes.
And people only change, like in the film, and like it says, in life, a crisis has to happen where it is too, it will be, it's impossible to live the way you were living.
In a measurable amount
of
sorrow or anger.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you have to change. And it's like, does it always change you as a person? No. But there are some instances where, like you said, greed corrupts innocence. Your character can be inexorably altered for the rest of your life.
In a good way, in his story.
Yeah,
in Rocket's way. Yes.
Yeah, his storyline throughout the whole thing was fucking really awesome.
But I think the most haunting thing is that the runts...
Oh, yeah.
The rats overran City Hall at the end.
Yeah.
They take fucking Little Z, and there's these things that happen that you sort of see that there's a reciprocal cycle in that world that can't change till, I don't know, human beings don't exist. Culture surrounds you no matter what. If you stay in that city, you become that city.
Yep.
But I'm sure that, like, those, they will progress in a different way, maybe going to do different things, you know, because they've seen, like, what happens, so maybe that could happen, too. I don't know. They don't really tell you, like, you know, what happens afterwards.
I always just got, like, a looming sense that nothing in the city would change. Yeah. Only certain people would escape.
Yeah, you can only
see their
out.
Situation.
You can't change it, but you can get out. I think that's
You just walk away or run away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, oh, man, there's scenes where people... Oh, man, running away, it doesn't work out all
on
the time.
Netflix, like I said, fucking definitely watch that one.
For
that
the Bruce Springsteen fans out there, or whose dad is Bruce Springsteen fans, or whoever, this is the Born to Run of film. Period.
Yeah.
Period. It's young people trapped in a place that is so fucking awful, and they're all, and you can see really good souls in there.
They're all trying to get out.
And the only thing is you gotta get out. Yeah. You gotta get out. That's the only way to save yourself.
Oh, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so that was another great. Thank you for asking to do that. I'm really happy with it.
Dude, I'm so happy.
Excellent.
We all have to watch it.
We're going to. All right, so next week, Genre 5 is going to be superhero movies.
Yes, I'll be back.
Yep. Yeah, Willis will join us again. We'll talk Avengers 2 a little bit, not, you know, spoiler or anything like that. And then we'll do a test of Tony on Blade 2. Tony's favorite, actually.
Yeah.
When was the last time you watched that?
Years. All right,
awesome.
Brother.
That's perfect. And then the in-depth will be on the first Avengers.
Okay.
And we can make some comparisons of the second two and stuff like that, and then, you know, get into that. Until next time, go burn books.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production, executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.